NCAA tournament is upon us. Of course, KU basketball taking on Northeastern. You can hear it right here on KFH, 1:30 on air, tip shortly after 3. That's coming up tomorrow. Brian Haney joining us as he does every Wednesday. Got a kind of a two-parter for you, Brian. First of all, how's Salt Lake?
Beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. It's a little chillier today. We got in just in time to walk around before sunset last night on what's going to be the best weather day of the week. I think the rest of this week it's going to be in the 50s, but surrounded by mountains, absolutely gorgeous and beautiful downtown area where the team stays.
Yeah, very nice. The one memory I have of Salt Lake City is hitting David Ortiz with a pitch in a Triple A game.
Nice.
Yeah, that was kind of my one memory of Salt Lake. This is an interesting year for KU in the tournament, Brian, in that they're a four and that Bill Self doesn't have to install a chip on any of the players' shoulders. I would imagine that's self-explanatory, that you're a four, didn't win the Big 12 for the first time in 15 years. All these built-in, you know, kind of advantages if you're Bill Self and you want to motivate your guys. In the past, from your experience of teams that are ones or twos, and Bill has had to kind of manufacture the chip on their shoulder and make sure that they understand that they're the hunted and not the hunter. What's the difference in his message this year, do you think, in March?
That's a great question. I haven't heard a phrase that way. And first off, yeah, I heard him say the other day after his press conference, the biggest advantage to being a one seed, of which Kansas was a one seed 8 times in a 12-year stretch, which is just crazy. Nobody else can say that. You know, prior to this year being a four. But he said the biggest advantage is not regional location or anything like that. It's that you only have to win 5 games instead of 6 to win a national championship. And that's not assuming anything, because as we saw last year with Virginia, it can happen and now has happened. But typically speaking, you know, not that you just roll out the balls and expect to win. You still have to game plan and scout and all that. But in terms of how even things get, truly, once you get to the round of 32, when you think about it, if you're playing an 8 seed in the round of 32, that's a team that was either just outside of being in the top 25 or amongst those receiving votes. And on a neutral court, even a 1 seed can lose to an 8 pretty regularly. The difference is you start playing those caliber teams around sooner if you aren't, you know, on the high perch of a 1 or a 2. And it makes for 6 games like that. And so he said, more so than anything else, that's the biggest advantage to being a one. And now you're in a situation where, not that I can talk about point spreads a ton, but, you know, Kansas is about a 5-point favorite, maybe 6, depending on where you look, in a year where your opener isn't the sleepy 20-point blowout that you typically get in a 1-versus-16, which means, hey, the forecasters was calling for a, you know, 2-possession game. And so the intensity and the vulnerability of getting knocked out right away goes way, way up. And so I think that even though he would have told each of those previous 1- and 2-seeded teams, hey, you better bring it today or we're going home. Not that he didn't say that. It's just that it all starts a little bit sooner and the pressure climbs significantly higher right out of the gate. And so in terms of playing with a chip on their shoulder, I mean, there's plenty of motivating factors. I think the frustration you saw at the end of the Iowa State game when Diedrich slammed the ball down and got the technical and all that, you know, shows that this is a club that is getting better in their new incarnation of this no Legero Vic, no Udoka, whatever. They've won 8 of 11 as they currently are comprised. And yet they still recognize that they've got a really small margin for error. And, you know, if certain things don't go their way, the season will be over. And so, you know, you really, truly have to play and bring it your best every single night. And that doesn't equate to shot making on some nights. And that's my biggest fear with this team, is that we're going to have a game sometime in the next couple of weeks, if not in the next couple of days, where Clinton and Ochai both don't hit. And there's just too much to put on the shoulders of Diedrich and Devon, and the season ends. But the good news is, I mean, they get that. These guys dialed in. Bill Self's trying to manufacture other ways to score consistently and you know, defend well enough on the other side, you know, to win some of these tight games. Because when you start the tournament from the vantage of a 4 seed, as I just laid out, every game is going to be a tight game. Nothing is to be taken for granted. You know, we've seen the walk-ons for the last time, I would think.
That's a good way to put it right there.
Blow out the other day. Absolutely.
The tone of that last answer kind of takes care of this question, but I'll phrase it anyway. Going into just about any postseason that I can remember at Kansas, and by God, I've been around a bunch of them, you always knew what you pretty much were going to have. Now, somebody might beat you because maybe their best can beat you at your best, but you always knew what you could hang your hat on. This is a team going in with four freshmen, so many young players playing in the postseason for the first time. We just had Lee Sterling on from Paramount Sports. He pointed out that this team is 6-8 in games away from home. This is one of the few times, Brian, that I can remember going into the postseason with a team from KU where we really didn't – I mean, we know, I think, in Dedrick Lawson what we can – we know that. We know what we're going to get from him. But other than that, there's just a whole lot of – well, what's going to happen right here? I mean, you're around them every single day. Do you have a better answer than anyone else?
I'll try. First off, with Dedrick, we think we know what we have with Dedrick.
Yeah, good call.
I don't want this to sound critical in any way, because I love the kid, and I want nothing but the brightest of futures for him. But there's a lot of matchups where, because he's not an elite-level athlete, he gets outplayed physically. And I know there's more in there because I've seen it. When we were in Tempe and he went 12 of 15 and he had several spin moves where this burst of quickness and acceleration came out of seemingly nowhere, it's like, whoa, what was that? You know, I know it's in there. And you know, Matt Tate wrote a great article yesterday for KUSports.com that chronicles Dedrick's ascension to this point. And could this be now where he flips the switch, puts the team on his back, and makes a Danny Manning-like run? I hope so. I hope he plays with his hair on fire. And I'm not saying he doesn't at other points. I'm just saying he can't jump over guys or blow by guys in most cases. You just look at the last two road trips of Big 12 play. You had McGriff shooting over him with relative ease in Stillwater, and you had Doolittle driving around him with relative ease in Norman. And these are not first-team all-Big 12 guys. These are B-plus caliber college players. And so if this is his audition for the NBA, and it is. I mean, this 3-week stretch is where most guys can catapult themselves, in some cases, you know, 20 draft slots, if not more. Then you know, we need to see whatever he has in the tank turn to the full bore tilt, and he can't have a 2-of-12 start to a game like we saw the other night versus Iowa State, or KU will likely go down with him, and you know, the audition opportunities will dry up after one game. So you're right to say we know what we have with him, because it's amazing how he still gets his, even in a bad efficiency night shooting the ball. He still will find a way to get his 18-8 or 20-10 or whatever it may be on that given night. But, man, I don't know, Bruce. I feel like we almost need alpha dog, optimal version, maybe Optimus Prime version of Dedrick Lawson in this NCAA tournament. Comparable to what Matt Tate was writing about. Not that he's Danny Manning by any means. Not. That was the number one pick in the draft. He's probably going to get picked in the 50s if he's picked. But could he be a guy that puts the team on his back and gives you more? Yeah, I think he could. And that doesn't mean 35 and 15, but it means high efficiency. It means more explosiveness. It means showing off the full bag of tricks, which includes his ability to pass, which Bill Self said was the best, you know, of any player he's ever coached at any position, but we haven't gotten to see that as much this year because there's no Udoka, you know, to feed off of in the post, but maybe him and David, you know, get something going there. So to me, you know, I realize I just took 3 minutes to answer the part of your question that we thought was a granted part, but I think he's a paramount important to get his absolutely optimal level. Now the rest of these guys, man, it really is a wild card. You don't know what you're going to get on a given night from Ochai or Quinn. I think that Quinton took a big step forward in Kansas City, and I'm not just talking about the 5-for-5 from three in the first half versus West Virginia. He was doing things on the other end of the floor defensively. He was making nice passes to set up teammates, rebounding. I thought he looked a lot more complete and a lot more settled in. Nobody should be saying, could he be this year's Malik Newman? Because Newman had, I mean, ultimately, you know, an 8-game stretch where he was just next level, otherworldly. But could he have a game like West Virginia that ultimately propels us one round farther than what we're supposed to go? Absolutely he could. I just hope that mentally, you know, shots go down early and he stays confident. And if shots don't go down early, I hope he's able to do other things in other categories to get that rim to look a little bit wider. Because I think that is what happened in Kansas City. You'll recall his first game in Kansas City, he didn't shoot well at all. He was 2 of 10. But he had 7 of 8 free throws down the stretch, and that gave him some confidence spilling over into the next day. And he made a couple of hustle plays that got him going early in that one. And then boom, 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 here come the threes. So let's have hope that Quinton, you know, has more good days than bad, and that we have multiple days to even talk about this thing. The guy that I worry about is Ochai. I mean, Ochai has not looked like the same player for the last 3 weeks. And to me, looked tentative and passive in some cases, playing in his hometown on the big stage and bright lights of the Big 12 tournament. Hopefully he can get his mojo back, because you sure as heck can't have both those guys go bone dry on the same day. Because as much as this team can score as a slasher driver team that, you know, 2 points you to death, you do need a little bit of firepower when you look at what's staring back at him matchup-wise in some of these, especially if Diedrich's not going to have a, you know, 28-point type game. So you need those two, and those are my biggest concerns. Because honestly, I really don't worry about Devon. I know in the last 2 weeks of the regular season, he had a three-game stretch that was not quite Dotson caliber. But by and large, 34 games deep, this guy's exceeded expectations 30 out of 34 games. And I think he's only going to thrive all the more in the postseason, because if there's anybody who's a gamer and just has that mental makeup to him, it's Devon Dotson. So really long answer to a short question, but I want to see optimal version of Diedrich. And I hope our two wild card wings, that's what we'll call them, that we at least get one hitting on any given night. And if we get two hitting on the same night, that's the type of performance that can beat Auburn or beat North Carolina or whatever stands in your path. And it may take that for this club to have a truly special run.
Brian Haney, KU play-by-play voice, play hooky tomorrow and listen to him and Greg Gurley against Northeastern. They're on the air right here on KFH at 1:30 tomorrow, tip off shortly after 3. Let's get back to the Diedrich Lawson thing. At the very beginning of the answer that you just gave, couldn't it be possible, though, Brian, that Lawson understands that if he gets in foul trouble and if he doesn't play 38 minutes and if he's not at his optimal self on the offensive end, there's no way they're going to win? Isn't that possible?
Yeah, and what you said about foul trouble probably explains why you don't see him go all out more defensively and trying to block a ton of shots and take some chances. He knows he has to, you know, be the guy that's carrying the flag and leading the brigade for, as you said, upper 30s in terms of minutes played. And so that probably explains why he doesn't take more chances defensively and doesn't fly around all the time where he could be crashing into guys picking up charges. You have to play composed and within yourself. But I think that for a guy that doesn't wow you with vertical leap or side-to-side quickness or whatever, even just playing turned up a tad more, so long as he's not sped up and missing shots because of it, I think that could make a world of difference. And maybe it's just coming out as an assassin and just beating his man to a certain spot so that he gets that better angle by just a little bit to get off a cleaner look. Because as we've seen in games where he starts out fast, he can really get it going. If you look at his box scores, though, there have been a lot of games where he's had 20-plus points and he's had one half of ineffectiveness. I don't know if we can have one half of ineffectiveness when you look at what I expect out of Northeastern and certainly what you expect out of potentially Auburn should they get by North New Mexico State. So to me, when I say, you know, he's optimal version, it's not only being amped up a little bit more, but you know, able to be as efficient as he can possibly be from start to finish, because so much is required of him. And you know what? If he starts fast and more attention is commanded of him, that's only going to help the other guys too. So we can't have one of those halves like we had on Saturday where he's 2 of 12, Garrett's 0 of 6, the team's 0 of 9 from the three-point line, the 2 of 8 from the free throw line, and they've missed 10 bunnies from 4 feet and in. That happens, then you know, this season's going to end a lot faster and a lot quicker than we would have hoped. And hopefully we've seen the last of halves of basketball like that this year.
I know that Kansas has dipped, and I use the term guardedly, to a 6.5-point favorite over Northeastern. I look at Northeastern and I see, a team that beat Alabama by 16. An Alabama team that, in all fairness, went 18-16 during the season, but they have losses to Virginia Tech by 28, by 11-9 to Davidson, by 23 to Syracuse, I think if I'm doing my math right, by 5 to Vermont, another tournament team. This has the look, even though I'm sure that some will look at this and say, well, this isn't the same kind of KU team, but this has the look of Northeastern having to play exceedingly well and Kansas having to give them a chance a little bit here to lose this game. I know that you have to be probably more cautious, but I don't know. I mean, I'm not buying the Northeastern hype in this matchup.
I'm not buying it from those that are selling it that they're going to pull the upset, but I do expect a tight game. And again, I'm as I work internally, can't really talk about the spreads too much. I just use that as a conversation starter. But those that are in the know are thinking about a two-possession game, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's two Vasa Pushitsa threes from being a tight game. And there was the Pushitsa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have fun with that one
buddy. He's from Serbia, everybody.
Yeah.
He is. And I was giving Greg Gurley some mnemonic devices on how to remember how to effectively and correctively say his name. We probably should go into him on air, but I think we're going to be on the same page for him to be able to say that the right way, because sometimes we differ on pronunciations like Ochai Agbaji. But anyway, we digress. I think what concerns me, Bruce, is that you got four guys in the starting lineup that not only all shoot 39% and above three, but it's high volume. All four of these guys have hit at least 50 threes on the year. So going back to biblical times, when an underdog wins, David versus Goliath, he's slinging it, right? Slinging a stone, slinging threes, and basketball, they come out slinging it. And that's what scares me, because that's the number one recipe for a March Madness underdog story, is they catch fire from deep. And so to me, as much as we talk about what Kansas must do offensively to jump out early with Diedrich hitting and all that, man, I really hope that we see the most intense perimeter defensive effort all season, where they're playing them before the catch, they're pushing them 2 feet beyond the arc before they even get the ball, and they're up in their business so close they can smell those Huskies' breath. You know, that's what I hope, because I don't know that they have the speed to beat Kansas off the bounce like an Auburn team will. So maybe you do take some chances and extend the pressure a little bit, and just making sure everything is contested. Everything is frustrating for the Huskies to try and get separation. And maybe that gets in their heads a little bit, because if they come out and hit a few and suddenly they settled in, well, then it is that slinging a stone, David and Goliath thing, where all of a sudden they're just chucking. And Kansas doesn't want to get into a three-point shooting contest with anybody. This is not last year's team or the year before when you set back-to-back school records. And so I think that reminding Cinderella that it's about to start, about to strike midnight, and not allowing Cinderella to settle in and really get comfortable, you know, could be a huge key in this one. Put your foot on the throat early, and then make sure that whether it's Pushitsa or any of the other three that are super capable, you don't have one or two guys just catching fire, because then you get yourself in a situation where all of a sudden it's halftime or it's 10 minutes through the second half and they're still within striking distance and you're in a one or two possession game and you don't need it to come down to that, because then all the nation's watching and all of a sudden we're on upset alert and it might be Kansas going out for the first time on opening day in 13 years, and we don't want that scenario, because we've had a pretty good run. The Bucknells and Bradleys of the world have been behind us for more than a decade now. 12 straight opening round wins. Let's see if we can make that 13 tomorrow.
All right, final question for you, Brian. We'll let you go. Brian Haney, play-by-play voice of the Kansas Jayhawks. One particular odds maker on some podcast somewhere last week said something about Bill Self is going to be the next head coach of the Chicago Bulls. You're around Bill all the time. Does that kind of rumor or that kind of talk tweak him? Does that make him mad, or does he laugh about that kind of stuff? Because we've heard that before, that he's going here, he's going to the Spurs, he's whatever.
Sure.
When somebody starts rumors about his future, how does that make him react to you or around you guys?
You know, he usually just shrugs it off. I've seen him laugh about some stuff, like, when they come up with this, and other times he's just like, that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It kind of all depends on how close to tip-off we are and how much in game mode he is. But He never gives, you know, too much time or thought to any of that stuff because he recognizes just how much bogus garbage is out there on the internet in general. Everybody's trying to make a name for themselves by having a hot take or being the first to say something. And in social media's time right now, where, to be honest, social media is almost as important as regular media if you listen to some of the ADs and where they're spending their money right now, because they look at all the impressions and all that.
Yeah.
Well, you've got people on social media that just throw crap at the wall to see if it sticks.
Yeah.
Because they want to be the first one to say they said it here first, you know? And it's so often we don't hold people accountable for what they get wrong. We just remember the one time they get it right. So if you try it enough, you eventually are going to get one right, and then you're going to say, oh, this is my moment, you know? And you delete all the other predictions you made that didn't look to be true. So I think that Self is used to it by now. I remember having a very candid conversation with him his second year on the job way back, you know, 14 years ago, where he said, never gets on the message boards. He never reads the rumor mill stuff. He never reads any of that because 80% of it is garbage. And he just deals in realities. And our reality is he wants to be at Kansas for a long, long time. There's always going to be people making rumors because of, oh, but what about the NCAA stuff? Or what about, you know, his ambition to follow his best buddy R.C. Buford and all right. this stuff. People are going to always try to connect dots because we live in a day and age where it's more important to be first than it is to be right. And so we take guesses sometimes. Not we in the media like you guys and me, but some of these other people that are looking for likes and retweets and blue check marks because they got something right on their Twitter account. And unfortunately, that leads to a lot of bad, and I won't even call it journalism, bad guessing. And I think that's what that was with the bull story.
Well said.
1:30 tomorrow, tip off at 3. It'll be Brian Haney and Greg Gurley, KU and Northeastern. Tell Gurley to practice up on the dude from Serbia, okay?
Yeah.
Bushica.
Yeah.
You got him.
We will have to nail that tomorrow.
That a baby.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, good luck, Brian.
Enjoy your stay, Brian. Appreciate you.
Mattress stuff as well. Yeah,
you bet.
Mattress stuff as well. They're the absolute best. Ryan Beatty and Company, a locally owned and operated business that's now spread all over Kansas and parts of Oklahoma. And it all began right there in Wichita. As you get your tax time rebates coming back, spend it on a new mattress or bedroom accessories at the Mattress Hub at themattresshub.com. Thanks, fellas.
All right, Brian. We'll be listening.
All right, Brian. Good luck.
He mentioned that Bradley's and the Bucknells are in the rear view. Last time that KU was a number four, it was 2006. Yeah. And that was the Bradley year. Bradley got him in the first round. KU did extend its record of consecutive NCAA tournament appearances, though, to 30. 30 years in a row, they've been going to the big dance, and they are in Salt Lake City taking on Northeastern.
They beat Northeastern. I don't think it's as easy against Auburn. And I think Auburn's going to have their hands full with New Mexico State, don't you?
I do, but I also will hearken back to if Northeastern's hitting their threes.
Yeah, it's an interesting game. Yeah, I agree.
Four dudes that have made 50 or more. Mm-hmm. A couple of them get hot, boy. Like Brian said, you don't want to get in a 3-point shooting contest with those guys because that's what they do. So we'll find out.
All right, we'll
make some bets, not real ones, but just for fun. We'll have some over under in March Madness. Bruce and I will give you our picks on some prop bets coming up next.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.